morning, Patriots. Before we begin today, Jim Pugh, who you've heard on the show, is doing a sovereignty and county-by-county workshop on April 9th at 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. in Corinth, Texas, which is near Dallas, I believe. And you can go to his website, godisgovernment.com, and go to events. And there's a $25 registration fee, which covers just the cost of the building. And I think I'll be doing, I'm going to be doing an hour part of that presentation. He's going to do first hour. I'm going to do second hour. And then Scotty Sachs, who does Sovereign Radio, is going to be either doing the third hour or I'll be doing the third hour with him. So anyway, that's something to check out. And it is a, I don't know if there's a live feature to it or if it's just a physical, if it's a physical, what am I trying to say, present? This is too early for these sorts of thinking problems. I'm kidding. If it's a seminar, that's what I'm trying to say. My goodness, words are short. But I will be, we'll do that, and then we'll work out other types of discussion forums for online. We're going to be doing a lot more of this. So anyway, there you have it. And I'll put out more of that as it gets closer. So godisgovernment.com, and then go under events and go to April 9th. And so that's an actual physical seminar. And I don't know, I'm going to probably be coming in on Skype. So I don't see any reason why in the future we can't do a version of that online. And I think we will. So that's the Saturday beginning announcement for you. Hope you enjoyed that. Brought to you by Bards. There you go. Ephesians 1:11, which is just always a real reminder to me of so many things. It's in him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. We are in a time, and I say it's a reminder, first of all, because I do read that fairly regularly as a passage. I always reflect on how, and I do kind of keep track on what verses I go over. I have a standing goal in the course of doing these programs over a few years that hopefully that we will be able to obtain a pretty comprehensive look at the whole Bible in a very indirect way. Because as you know, I don't stay linear. I bounce around and I assemble pieces. But there are certain passages that come up very regularly in relevance to what we're dealing with. This is one of them. And it is one of them for me anyway, because it's such a powerful phrase in such a short amount of words. Ephesians itself, and I've mentioned this before, Ephesians itself is such an entirely packed book. In a few short pages, how much we get out of that and how much Paul put into that. This Ephesians 1:11 again is just kind of a framing of who we are and where we are in this world. Again, in him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. It's a profound passage to me in the sense that it says so much about where we are, that we have already obtained that inheritance. And it's based on a predestiny, which is incredible if you think about it, which of course is God's will, and that all things are worked in accordance with his will. So essentially, there's nothing that's a surprise. And that we're all playing out exactly as God expected or intended. The discovery, for a large part, is us. learning about what he's already given us. And that, if you think about it, is a pretty amazing statement, because within each and every one of us is perfection and is the glory of God, and all the inheritance that God intended to give us, it's there. It's been there from the beginning of our lives. What exists between us and that, between us discovering that and God and our deep relationship with God and the full and the receiving of that inheritance, is quite frankly our meandering, wandering, falling off cliffs, bumping into walls, crashing our car into the side of the garage. I mean, I'm using these metaphors because we're quite literally, that's how we end up being. We start in perfection. A child is pure in its thoughts and understands and sees the world as God intended. By the time the child gets through working through their course of working with adults, they've either accelerated that as they're raised in one family, or they've had much of that suppressed, or worse, potentially even destroyed if a child is subjected to torture, abuse, trauma. It's something they can have hopefully reclaim, but it won't. It's going to be a completely corrupted process for them to get there. And you look at this phrase, Ephesians 1:11, and you realize where we sit and what God gave us, you start to also reframe how absolutely important that role of nurturing children is and what responsibility God gave us. In him, we've obtained an inheritance, which means from birth, we obtained it. And that means when the child comes into this world, the parents that God gave them to, that child is now intended to be nurtured, to raise up, and to grow the kingdom of God. Not to be growing the kingdom of Satan or Lucifer. Sadly, in this movement across this world of a godless movement, children are not seen that way at all. And they're not seen as being raised in a godly environment, but rather just raised, or worse, can't wait to raise them and get them out of the house. And really, if you think about that statement, how many times have we heard that in our lives? I would have to say, and I'm very blessed in saying this, I'm probably, in my life, I'm one of the few people that I've encountered where my parents literally never talked about the day that I would leave the house. My dad was self-employed, and I did a lot of sports for my life, starting when I was in fourth grade. And I was very active in my middle school and senior years as a wrestler, and went to state a number of times, competed all over the county and all over the state, and even went to training special camps in the summer. One was down in Squaw Valley. One was up in Corvallis, Oregon. My dad never missed a single event that I participated in or competed in. Never would. It didn't matter where he was on a job. It didn't matter. And he was in remodeling and construction. It did not matter what he was doing. There was one thing I knew as a child I could count on. Both my mom and my dad were at every single event. And I say that because my dad was self-employed. My mom was also employed at the school district. But neither one of them missed our events. It provides you as a child and as you grow up something you can count on and anchor. And I remember at times looking around the stands to see them. And we get into our obstinate phase in senior, in when we get teenagers. We all do it. We're like, oh, I don't want to admit my parents are here, that sort of stuff. That was one place I never went through then. You know, that sort of commitment to parenting is something that we have to reclaim in this time if we're going to reclaim a nation. we have to reposition children to a level of love and admiration through God in a way that so many have lost. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's another incredible statement when you think of that in terms of a parent. And giving your only son to a sacrifice for the world. These aren't new thoughts in faith. These aren't new thoughts I'm presenting this morning as some sort of profound insight. These are just common sense views when we look at Scripture. And we have to do a deep reflection in ourselves, and we have to ask ourselves what we've become as a nation. It is important that we reflect, and it is important that we look across this terrain of human existence in this country. And it is important that we ask some hard questions of how did we move from a place where children birthed, where that's a gift from God, to a place where children are almost a burden for so many. Not almost, they are. Having children, and you just have to ask yourself what leads people to have kids when they themselves are so broken and or are not committed to the path that they're on. There's probably a lot of great psychology analysis on this, psychological analysis. Like, well, this person was trying to fulfill themselves through the child. This is a deeply spiritual issue. And in allowing children to come into this world without a commitment to raising them in a way that's within the realm of God, it's completely self-absorbed. And it's completely separate from what God intended. We have been given such an incredible opportunity to raise and nurture a creation of God. And yet, as a nation, we don't. Worse is that so much of it happens in families these days. And it happens a lot more than I think people are even willing to admit, is that the raising of the child in the environment isn't based on the wholeness of faith and love of God, but it's based on the stages of growth and what material things are going to be given to them at each phase. I can't wait till my child gets to here, I can send him to this. I can't wait till my child gets here, I can get her this. In various forms of that. I don't know if you ever saw that TV series about Sweet 16 birthday parties. Trust me, I saw it only out of curiosity. I saw it one day online and I watched an episode and I just about threw up. I mean, could not believe the people talking about how these were stories of parents trying to keep up with one another, the Joneses, how the 16th birthday party, all trying to compete with one another, who could outdo each other, $30,000, $100,000, $500,000, new cars, dresses. It's all nonsense. Because a young girl turned 16 years old. There's no purpose tied to that. In Afghanistan, girls in particular are treated in a very different way. Fathers dote after them. It's interesting to watch this happen in Afghanistan. Fathers dote after their daughters more than the boys when they're young. And then when the girl turns to be of age that she can bear children, then it's like everything changes. The girl has to cover up, and then she becomes ready to be sold. And that's basically what it comes down to. They won't say it that way, but I do, because it's pretty much that raw. It's all about a dowry that the family receives for the girl. And so if she is able to bear children at a young age, like 12, she's now able to be sold like cattle. This is where this world leads, when we start to devalue children and they become part of a property arrangement. It's pretty horrific. And this is a problem that's worldwide. It's not just here. And I think that's what makes it more daunting and more heavy when we think about it, is that children all over the globe are being put into some sort of suffering on a regular basis because of cultural norms that have nothing to do with God and parenting that just, quite frankly, sucks. The children have to be the center point of everything that we do as we continue to move forward. They should have been the center point of all of our lives. And none of us, including myself, have done enough on that end. There's great efforts going on, and it's wonderful to see. But we have to give in a way that's unprecedented in order to bring this healing about. Children are the future of the nation, and if there's one thing we can admire in a very dark way, listen to these words, because this is a, I hate to use that word admire, it's probably not the right term, but one thing we should respect, let's put it that way. Pay attention to how much effort this cabal and this Luciferian order spends to trying to co-opt the children to their side. That should tell us everything. Again, the one thing about this Luciferian cabal is that it is more faithful to its God than we are as a whole. These people get raised into an environment where they begin that ritual, their ritual processes from birth. And as draconian and horrible as they can be, they never stop until the day they die. When we look at the way they go after children in a culture, destroying them in the various means, it is unbelievable how committed they are to a process. And it's their understanding, their relationship to this issue of power. They, once they get hooked into the narcotic and adrenaline of power and control, they realize the potential of controlling others and becoming gods themselves, and they don't stop. And here we are, this was a world given to us, not to them. And we've sat quietly on the side. Years of indoctrination into this ridiculousness in the church, that you're supposed to be passive and sit there in the pew and wring your hands and say, oh God, please help me. And we're not taking accountability for our lives and for the greatest things God's given us. We have the numbers, always have had the numbers. But the Luciferian cabal is relentless. And as much as I detest them, I have to respect them as an enemy, because they do not quit. And when they target something like kids, they go at it at all sides. And then I look over to our side, God's side, and I'm like, huh, where's that same commitment? We see it in spots, but where's that same commitment? We can call it whatever it is, but there should be absolutely no reason that the Luciferian cabal has any power in this world. Ephesians 1:11 again. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things in accordance to the counsel of his will. When you walk in the power of God and you're there with him, there is none of this that happens. The moral lines rectify themselves. The addictions that people have get healed. Health restores. The mindset of the individual is strengthened. The glory and duty to God is elevated. It's beautiful. And yet, we wander. How many parents do you know that end up being... There's like in parenting, and I've come into a lot of it, the way I say see parenting, how quickly that addictions can break a family. Or abuse can break a family. And it's, where does that come from? I don't know. And I don't have an answer. It's a rhetorical statement. What has happened to us? And God's been there the whole time. All we have to do is turn to Him. Unfortunately, some of that, and I don't put all of it, but some of that is a church, because the church hasn't done its job in seeing to the welfare of the community. It tries to do its job in seeing to the welfare of its walls through an offering plate. And so as we look forward and we try to reestablish so much of this world through a vision of God, it's, as I've said many times, it is going to be and begin in the home. And it has to be in a place where we start to rekindle. As big things happen up top, if you will, like, you know, the cleaning of things and its filters down, getting dirt bags out of the system, we have to be resetting our homes. That's one of the reasons I keep saying is it doesn't matter what happens in D.C. It matters not what happens at your state capitol. People would disagree. They'd be like, "Whoa, the tyranny's coming." It's already here. And sadly, I'm just going to say this, we say tyranny's coming and we look to the government and say it's already here. It is. But here's the worst part. For many kids and many kids, tyranny has been there since they were born in their own home. So when we look at that, we look at the world with that optic, and you start to look around and say, for us, and we say, this is unbelievable. I can't believe our government's doing this. Ask yourself a question. If a child was raised in such an environment, would this look any different? How would they understand the meaning and the purpose of a constitution if they're being raised in a family of violence or a drug addiction or abuse? What would that mean to them when one president says, we need to live free, we need to get rid of government, and another president says, we're going to give you more programs to solve your addictions and problems, we're going to dump a ton of money into that, and we're going to put you on a welfare state? If I was the kid in abuse, I'd probably go to the side of Biden, even though his promises will be empty. Because that's the only thing I would be able to understand. We have to nurture our youth. And it's not all on a single parent. That's the other part of this model. They've broken the family. And we've all suckered for it. Every one of us has been suckered into their trap of fighting with one another, stepping away from our faith at one point or another, being misguided in our directions. If someone can tell me honestly that didn't happen in their entire life, I will give them a hat tip. That's not, I'm not condemning anybody. But for the most part, I don't think anybody has escaped their trap their whole life. It's been a vicious war. And the one thing about where we are is we've awakened to what that war was and how it was being waged. So now that puts on us a responsibility. And that's the part I think that we need to take from this as we move forward is, this is the age of accountability. The age of awakening gave us the eyes to see. The age of accountability now says, what are you going to do about it? And how are you going to change? There's still so many stones being thrown about the age of awakening. Even a lot of the Patriot movement is still stuck on just talking about another discovery, a new Q connection, a new this or a new that. That's a blip in our day of just news. And it's not a criticism to that thinking of trying to continue to reveal truth, which needs to happen. But in a time when, for those that are new, that new awakening of truth is important. For those that are awakening, the next steps are essential. What are you going to do about it? We can't just awaken and sit and watch and wait for somebody to fix it. Now we have to move forward and lean into this fight using the knowledge that we've gained, even if it's not complete. We have to take what we have and we have to start making corrections. And where do those corrections begin? They're not going to begin in DC. They are going to begin in our home. Because when we reset our homes, we then can help with our neighborhoods. And as we build from our neighborhoods, we can now reset our communities. It is essential that we put our focus and our love into our homes. God has to be back at the dinner table. God has to be back at the breakfast table. God has to be moving through your home in all places. We should be able to walk into anybody's home that is following God and loving this country, and we should be able to find two documents somewhere in that house prominently displayed. One should be a Bible. Two should be a Constitution. I'd say the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, and hopefully the Bill of Rights. If we have those documents as a, if that's a benchmark to gauging a home. And someone just, I saw, wrote 10 Commandments. That's a good one. There needs to be some founding documents for us to go. And I told you before that one of the things, my dad used to have La Desiderata up on the wall. It's a good piece. It's a poem. And it was right in the hallway. And he was really good at this. When we were being kids, like we would be kids, getting in fights with my brother or being smart like kids like to do. The punishment was, go stand in front of the Desiderata and read it. And I'll admit that there's a lot of times I just stand there and pretend like I was reading it. But the fact of the matter is, enough times you're exposed to something, it gives you a foundation of goodness to walk on in your life. So let's strive to that. I think that's a good Saturday message. The world is a heavy place if we let it creep into our hearts. The world can be a beautiful place if we know that we can take action to change it. Each one of us can't transform the world, but each one of us can transform our homes. And if we transform our homes to make them a place grounded in God and in love of country, we've made a big step in that direction, in the direction of creating a positive impact. And from there, that becomes our launch pad. Every insurgency or counterinsurgency needs a sanctuary to succeed. It's a fundamental rule. The Taliban could not have succeeded with us in Afghanistan unless they had sanctuary in the northern part of Pakistan, which is known as the SWAT. So the question is, where is our sanctuary? How are we launching our attacks, metaphorically speaking, to take back this country? And it begins with the sanctuaries that we build in our homes. So let us build those sanctuaries with God. And in doing so, let us watch our families transform. And let us watch the greatness of God's light and love come into our lives in such an amazing way. Nothing is impossible with God. And if you're listening to this and you're struggling with issues and you're struggling with whatever that is, whether it's an addiction or problems parenting, all I'm going to say is begin by humbling yourselves and repenting in front of Christ. And then trust in God and ask God for what you need. Because this is an amazing world out here, and God will help you as you will find the resources are given in unexpected ways. be ready to receive once you ask. So have a blessed day. Keep your head up and your eyes forward. It's a beautiful time to be alive. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we come together each and every day to reflect and open our hearts to all that needs to be done before us and to let you in to guide us. Lord, this world is in a chaos, and if we look at the big picture of all that is here, it's overwhelming. It can be hurt. It can be a heavy pain to bear. And so in that level of look, we're graced to be able to see the truth, but we also ask you to help us bear that burden. And in bearing that burden, we pray, Lord, that you can guide us on this path to reclaim the sanctuaries of your love in our homes, fully reclaim that place where your law rules, where we nurture our children in the way intended, with a firm hand but a loving hand, and where we reset our homes as sanctuaries for us to now work from, to expand your kingdom and your love across our communities, to reclaim this nation on the foundation of the words, "In God we trust," as we return the power back to the people. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. Keep your prayers up. Focus on your homes. It's the sanctuaries for us all. And by home, it's wherever you are. Home could be, whatever you call home is, wherever home is all, is what it is. There's no judgment or expectation. And whatever you are, whatever station you are, don't carry the weight of whether your home meets someone else's standards. It's your home to build. And with that, let God build it with you. Trust in him. He'll never forsake you. He'll never leave you. And in the end, as we know, God always wins. So have a blessed day. Take some time today to look up, to praise God for all that he is and all that he's brought. Let him guide us all to the glories of his kingdom. I'll see you tonight at 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern. Until then, or until the next time, God bless. Have a beautiful day. And out for now.
And embers fly wherever we were going. Fire and ice, we built our lives on survival. Guiding past the fault lines, we're riding your hand in mine. Freedom, the song we're humming. You can't stop the storm from. Of Eden running with the wolves.
ourselves to freedom. If you listen, hear the whispers with the night knows. There's a revolution rising in the shadows. Fire and ice, we